look into the Word for a little bit. If I were to title this, it would be under a category of sundry observations. Sundry can mean many or few observations or just things that we see, that we observe. And some weeks ago, Scripture was presented to me. And I've looked at this Scripture for these weeks now. And felt like the Lord had been visiting me about it and wanted to bring it to our attention this evening. I'd like to preface these comments by saying that many of the troubles that we have in our land today are because people do not want to receive instruction. The youth of our land have made decisions that don't anybody tell me what to do. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. I'm going to fly in the face of tradition. It doesn't matter to me how you want to do things. I am going to do it the way I want to do it. Don't anybody talk to me about rules. Don't anybody talk to me about laws. Don't anybody tell me about guidelines. I will decide what guidelines I want for myself, if any. And this is where we are in a society today. If you think it's not so, I would advise you to just look around, listen, pay attention to what we see, the things that people are willing to embrace and accept, and almost no boundaries. Almost no boundaries whatsoever. Now, I believe that the Word of God is a solid foundation to build our lives upon. I believe there are Scriptures that tell us very clearly how we ought to behave ourselves, how we ought to conduct ourselves, and how we ought to rear our children, how we ought to handle ourselves in the rearing of our children. This evening, my burden is not so much of the rearing of children and the disciplining of children. And discipline does not necessarily mean physical contact as far as spanking, switchings. It can include that. But it is teaching. It is instruction. All right? And if we don't start that process early, then we end up with disorder, chaos, and absolute unrule. Now, in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, that's where I'd like to begin. Sundry observations. Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 27. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. One of the problems that we deal with in society is the lack of the ability of people to learn how or to be instructed how to bear the yoke in their youth. Adam Clark made this observation on this verse. Early habits, when good, are invaluable. Early discipline is equally so. He who has not got under wholesome restraint in youth will never make a useful man, a good man, nor a happy man. I'll repeat that. He who has not got under wholesome restraint in youth will never make a useful man, a good man, nor a happy man. Now, I'd like to rehearse a little story to you. told it before, I believe. It's been many years ago. I was a service manager for a short time at a store, a mechanic shop in Kenner, on the Kenner-Metairie line. And there was a young man that came into that shop, supposed to be a mechanic. He had a toolbox head high, full of tools, brand new, shiny tools. And when he was given jobs to work on vehicles, I noticed that we would have many what we called comebacks. All right? Customer would come back and with a complaint. Something's not right. They'd check it out, find out that there were some mistakes made. The main issue was in the alignment rack. And I had been, at that time, certified brakes and front ends, and I knew how to calibrate the equipment. I knew how to use the equipment. I knew how to adjust vehicles and do front end alignments. I had done many of them, and I knew what to do. Various ways to adjust on various automobiles, but the fundamental things were all the same. There was very little variation between one vehicle and another as far as the settings and the where you wanted them to be for tire wear and for drivability. This young man had several comebacks in the alignment field. And I approached him one day about it. I said, "Can you tell me what's going on?" I said, do you know how to use the equipment?" So I went down in the pit with him and watched him, and he knew how to do it. There were some things that he needed some brushing up on. But when I watched him make the adjustments, I knew something was wrong. And I would check the adjustment on the vehicle and see where it was, and way out of balance, way out of line. And I asked him one day, I said, "Do you see this book that's down here in this alignment pit? Do you know what this book is for?" Well, he looked at the book, and I could tell that he didn't know much about the book. I said, "In this book are the specs for every vehicle ever made. And if you want to align an automobile, you look at these specs, and it tells you what is acceptable, what's allowable inside and outside. If your specs, if your numbers don't fall within these specs, there's something wrong." And you know what his response to me was? "The book's wrong." Many people today will say, "The book's wrong." Can I tell you the book is not wrong? This book is right. This book works. Now, as society, we won't be so bold and brash to say that book's wrong. But our conduct and the fruits of what we see lets us know that we conduct ourselves as though the book is wrong. Now, this scripture we just read, "It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." If a man doesn't learn how to bear the yoke in his youth, he's not useful for much in life. It's going to be hard to work with. I would say that this young man that I had that day, if he didn't change his ways, I would say that today he is still having a hard time being able to hold a job. Because everybody's wrong but me. I've got it figured out. I know what to do. I know how to do it. Don't tell me, because it's wrong. You're wrong. So, Proverbs 22. Oh, here's one that'll make people bristle. Verse 15. "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Whoa, wait a minute. Are you telling me that I've got to spank my child? I've got to use a switch or something? I've got to use physical discipline, I say to you folks, there is a time when it is necessary for instruction, for training, for teaching, to use means more than just words. More than just words. Sometimes the only way to get somebody's attention is a good noisemaker on the bottom. Now, they may be wearing a thick padded diaper, but I'll tell you what happens when you come up under that thick padded diaper with a broad hand. It makes a whopping noise, a sound, and most of the time that sound is what gets their attention. The sudden little jolt, yes. Is there much pain involved? Very little, because they're usually wearing a diaper. Thick clothes, jeans. But there is the time. The Scripture says, and if you say to me the book's wrong, if you say to me the book is wrong, then we're going to have some other, give me another explanation of what is right. This is the Word of God. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Something has to drive that from him. Some means has to be put into practice to get the foolishness out of the heart of the child. Some way has to be found to be successful in doing that. The Scripture says the rod of correction will drive it from him. Now, in Proverbs 27, I say these things because we're trying to come to a desired end. We want to come to a place where we have an adult who is productive in society, who is able to function and do things in society, be able to carry a task through, be able to understand the parameters, be able to understand the limits, be able to understand what no means. Be able to understand what it means when I say to you, don't do that anymore. If you have an employer, you're an employee, and if you have certain practices that your employer does not like, and they call you into a conference, into a visit one day, and they want to sit down and talk to you, and they say, I've noticed that you have this practice. Please don't do that anymore. I remember one time being called into one of such conferences. Manager sat me down. We visited a little bit. I was having trouble making it to a certain point before the business closed. And it was because it was very, very inconvenient to just totally rearrange the process of the delivery route to get there before closing time and not have to go back and retrace many steps. It would sometimes cost at least an hour to have to go back and retrace. But the customer had voiced a concern, and that made it through the pipeline, and it got to our office, and it got to my manager, and it got to me. So he wanted to talk about it. So we sat down and we talked about it, and he said, I need you to make the adjustments to get there before 5 o'clock. I said, that's going to be very difficult to do. It's going to cause a lot of difficulty. He said, do you want me to help you do it? Can you read between the lines? Do you want me to help you do it? No, sir. I'll take care of it. From this day forward, I'll take care of it. It won't happen again unless I'm broke down on the side of the road and physically impossible to get there. But no, sir, I don't need your help. I'll get it taken care of. You see, what he was trying to say to me is, what I'm telling you, do what I'm telling you. Get there before 5 o'clock. I don't want to hear your excuses. I don't want to hear your reasons. I don't want to hear all these other things. What I say, get there. Be there. And I had to realize, I don't want his help. Because his help is not going to be really the type of help that I need. I need to figure out how to do this on my own. Folks, this is what we want from our children, from our youth. We want them to understand that there are limitations. We want them to understand that what I think my way, the Scripture tells us, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. All the things that I think about things can be right in my own eyes, but there is a way that is right, regardless of whether I think my way is right or not. That day, my thinking was, it's going to be very inconvenient. Was it inconvenient for me? Yes, it was inconvenient for me. But you want to know what would have been more inconvenient for me? His help. That would have been more inconvenient for me. So I figured out right quick, no, sir, I'll take care of it. Proverbs 27:12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil or the trouble and hides himself. But the simple just pass on and are punished. They don't see what's coming. They don't hear the subtle warnings. If I had sat there that day and said, "Yes, sir, would you please help me?" Oh. Oh. I don't know what would have happened that day. If he said, "Do you want me to help you? Do you want to fix this? Do you want me to help you?" If I had said, "Yes, please help me," I might have been looking for another job. I might have that day been walking out the door with my personal belongings and company belongings piled in a pile for the company to return, you see. But I didn't want his help. I had figured out that I needed to take care of this business myself. A prudent man foreseeth the evil. He sees that I see something on the horizon, and I'm going to do everything I can to avoid getting my head bumped. So the best thing for me to do is when I see trouble on the horizon, do what I have to do to avoid the trouble. But it says the simple, just disregard. Disregard the red lights. Disregard the yellow lights. Disregard the white line. Disregard the yellow line. Disregard the stop sign. The simple pass on and are punished. You ever seen somebody drive through high water? Signs. High water. High water. High water. You ever seen anybody try to drive through and plow through high water and water spraying almost as high as this building is inside? And how far do they get and their vehicle is stalled out because they've sucked water into the intake manifold and it can't run anymore? I've seen that happen before. Why did it happen? Because they ignored the sign, high water. Now the scripture that was presented to me that I've been looking at in this same chapter of Proverbs 27, verse 22. It's kind of a drastic scripture when you think about it. When you read the words and you really study what it's saying, it's pretty drastic. But it's still the Word of God, and it's true. So listen to these words. Though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. The word bray here, the common thing that sticks out in our mind is the sound of a donkey. But that's not what this word means here. The first meaning, if you look in the dictionary, the first definition of this word bray means to pound, beat, or grind small. Alright? Albert Barnes had a definition of it I thought was pretty good. To pound wheat in a mortar with a pestle in order to free the wheat from its husks and impurities is to go through a far more elaborate process than threshing. It's more than just the threshing. This is getting down to business. Now listen again to these words. Listen to what this says. Though thou shouldest bray a fool, pound him, beat, grind small, though you should do that in a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. Can I tell you that is a pitiful station to be in? That is a pitiful situation for anybody to be in, where they are so steeped, so absolutely headstrong in their ways, that they will not, absolutely you cannot, change anything in their mind. You can't do anything to change their conduct. You can't do anything to change their actions. This is a drastic verse, folks. This is telling us, this is a serious warning to us. Though you should bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, grind him. You've already tried to give instruction. You've already tried to give some level of instruction, and that didn't work. But though you grind him, I mean just grind him. And what this means is you take matters that are more serious, more than just instruction, yet sometimes action, sometimes punishment, sometimes discipline, sometimes suspension from work. Sometimes you're fired. Sometimes you don't work here anymore. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You don't have a job here anymore. Do not come back here tomorrow. But that doesn't change a thing. They'll go to the next job and they'll find themselves in the same situation after a period of time. Called in the office. Can't comply. Won't comply. Won't listen, won't receive help, won't receive instruction. Though you should bray a fool in a mortar, among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. That's a sad state of affairs, folks. That's a sad state of affairs. And it's a drastic verse. As I've studied this little scripture, I've thought, how much better it is to be able to bear the yoke in youth. How much better it is to be able to receive instruction when I'm young. To be able to understand that there are limitations. To be able to understand. I have stories that I could tell you. I remember when my first job that was more than just a convenience store type job. I was actually working in for Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company. There in Hammond, when they had an operation in Hammond. And at the time I was working in the office, I was sweeping floors, emptying trash cans, working in the warehouse, straightening tires on the shelves, on the racks, doing whatever needed to be done. Doing anything that they needed me to do is what I was there to do. I was a flunky. But that was what I was there for. And I remember one day, the gentleman who was the store manager, as I walked by his office, said, "Mike, I need you to empty my trash can." I said, "Okay, Mr. West, I'll be back by in just a minute and I'll take care of it." As I walked out the door, service manager in the shop asked me to go pull some tires for him. So I went to the warehouse, pulled his tires, rolled them back out to the shop. As I came back in, the office manager said, "Mike, I need you to run, grab this for me." So I went and grabbed that for Mr. Tommy. And after a while, I came back by Mr. West's office and he said, "Mike, come here." All right. Go back inside Mr. West's office. He said, "Sit down, son." Just kind of the way, "Sit down, son." I sat down. He said, "You never emptied my trash can." "No, I didn't." He said, "What happened?" I said, "Well, Joe wanted me to pull some tires, and Tommy asked me to do this project for him." He said, "Who signs your paycheck, son?" "You do, Mr. West. When I ask you to do something, son, I want you to do it." "Yes, sir, Mr. West." Was he wrong to tell me that? No. He helped me. He helped me. He helped me understand. This is the man that runs this operation. This is the man who's at the top of the food chain here. Whatever happens here, he has to answer for. He signs my check. When I get my check at the end of the week, his name is right there at the bottom of it. "Who signed your check, son?" "You do, Mr. West. Then do what I ask you to do. See, I sign these other people's checks too. They work for me. Just like you. So when I ask you to do something, If Joe asks you to do something, you say, Mr. West said, I got to do this first. If Tommy says, I need you to do something, you say, Mr. West said, I need to do this first. I'll deal with that. You do what I said. Those are valuable, valuable things, folks. I said sundry observations. These are things that make a difference. Young men, one of these days you're going to be out on a job. And your supervisor, your manager, your boss is going to say things to you and have you do things that you're going to scratch your head about. And it's not going to make a whole lot of sense to you. But you know what's best to do? If it's not illegal, unethical, or immoral, do it. Do it. If there's repercussions from it, let it be because he told you what to do. You did what he said to do. And if there are repercussions, let it be on him. I just did what you asked me to do. All I ever did is what you told me to do. The last thing that you and I want to be categorized as is this scripture in Proverbs 27:22. Though you should bray a fool in a pestle, in a mortar with a pestle among wheat, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. You see, if we get to that point, honestly, if we get to this point, it's too late. It's not going to change. Something should have happened way before this. So before we ever get to that place. It has to do with so many things in life. It has to do with your job, employment. It has to do with your children. It has to do with discipline, instruction. It has to do with school. It has to do with so many areas in life. And folks, it has to do with serving the Lord. Because again, the Scripture says every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Mentioned just recently, and I asked to consider and think about it. In the little message, First and Second Advent. At the First Advent, Christ came as a lowly, humble servant. He stood before Pilate. Pilate said, don't you know I have power to save your life or to crucify you? But you couldn't have any power, Jesus word. You couldn't have any power except my Father had given it to you. But on the second advent, Pilate will stand before Jesus. If Pilate didn't mend his ways, if Pilate didn't change his thoughts and attitudes about things of authority, I hope that those words that day that Jesus said, you couldn't have any power except my Father had given it to you. I hope those words rang in his ears, and I hope it meant something to him, and I hope that he was able to mend some things in his life because he's going to stand before the august majesty judge, Christ Jesus. At that day, there will be a drastic turn of events. Oh, it has so much to do this evening, folks, with our lives in so many different directions. But in our service to the Lord, if we cannot accept the discipline of the Word of God, if I am willing to stand before God and say, your book's wrong, I'm as a fool who had been brayed in a mortar with a pestle among wheat, and my foolishness never departed from me. You pray for me. God help us all. Amen.